Hi, we're doing this stuff here. I'm making the lab, one of the labs that's probably GX97 Clovis. I've already done my big, we started calling it the farewell tour, going through and documenting lots of stuff, and let me put this thing on my here. While I'm in Clovis here, I'm tempted to go ahead and kill off my phone. But you know what? I better not. But if I can, I want to put in the order that says I want my service shut off on May 1st. So I'm going to be pretty busy there at the end, and I'm not going to have time just to go around, turn stuff on and shut things down. Things like that. So I'm hoping to get that done. I listened to the radio for just a minute, and boy, let me tell you, it is true. Makes me angry. It has been, what was it, Monday night, Tuesday, I forget, Monday or Tuesday this week, was the two homemade bombs at the Boston Marathon. And Everybody is apoplectic. It's been 4 days now. All reports say that 3 people died. Several people have lost limbs, are maimed for life. I don't want to denigrate the fact that it was a terrible atrocity. I don't want to discount that at all for anybody who would like to accuse me of doing such a thing. Friday today. It's been about 4 days. And Glenn Beck, who I am really starting to wonder about his thought process, you know. He made this statement, as soon as I heard it, I went, ah! And I turned the radio off and said, no more of this. He made the statement that the world changed. You know, I'm tired of anything happening changing the world. There are terrible atrocities happening every day. In third world countries, far worse things happen on a weekly basis. All the time, hundreds and thousands of people die in bombings, bus plungings. I had a friend when I was working at TGS, and he had made a bit of a study of bus plunging. It said, and you call it that because that's always what reporters are supposed to call it. You know, in such and such a town in Columbia, a bus plunged off of a bridge as if it was suicidal or something. Anyway, and, you know, and several hundred people died. And Americans go to sleep every night, rest assured that these things don't happen here. We just don't, these things don't happen here. And if they do, they're a national calamity. And I know other countries look at us and go, what a bunch of pansies. We deal with these kinds of things every day. No wonder America is such, it, you know, people look at America with just, what? For our avarice, our just being, how do you say it? The whole attitude of, that doesn't happen here. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying anything like that. What I'm saying is it's real. And it's like America lives in a freaking bubble. You know, oh, it's really good, like that don't happen here. It's almost like you have 300 million people with their heads collectively buried in the sand. Our government isn't doing bad things. You go, if you live in other countries, I mean, it's just an accepted fact. The United States of America is a banana republic. You just haven't figured that out yet. Our justice system is slightly better than those of a third world country being run by dictators. And the way we react brings this on. If anybody says, oh, well, we've got our liberties here. And you go, well, this is, actually, there are several European countries, and actually a handful of third world countries that do a better job than the United States does on measures that America thinks it owns. We own that. We are liberty. And you go, there are several countries that are better at liberty than the United States is now. I will never downplay the fact that America was once a shining light on the hill, a fantastic example, and has inspired so many wonderful things. I was reading, I was doing a little bit of poking around at the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And I think I've done a recording on this before. The first 20 or so articles of the Universal Declaration on Human Rights is a beautiful document that you can tell there was whole passages lifted from the United States Constitution, from the Bill of Rights of the United States Constitution. Now, after that, it starts getting weird and socialistic and crap like that, and I don't support any of that stuff, because it's untenable. As an economic system, it can't work. I think I was saying that a couple of recordings ago. There's one thing you must know about America and Americans, is that if they're behind in something at all, in anything, they are the most likely to be in first place next year. And that means in every way. If there's terrorism, we'll be number one in terrorism. Bar none, in a year or so. Once we decide that that's going to be something that's going to be... I speak we... kind of euphemistically, I apologize. I have not left my attitude that I would just as soon kind of be out of the country. If it's foreign service, I want to let you know that if I go into the foreign service, I want to reflect what is best about probably the America of the past. And that in doing so, and hopefully getting into areas of leadership in government, that's a possibility. Is that either I'm going to get into leadership in the U.S. government, or I'm probably just leaving the United States altogether. For being a place that's just irrational. And that bothers me more than almost anything else. We hope for a beautiful day. I do. You know, that's what I think libertarianism is. When they say, oh, it's a return to the 50s or to the 40s or to the 1800s, and we can't do that. That's not, you know, no, that's not going to work. And you go, well, you don't want it to work that way. You like the whole Robin Hood stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. And you guys all paint yourself as poor people. All the rich people paint themselves as poor people. Oh, I'm just barely getting by. Or you just don't know how many problems I have. I mean, I'm sorry. You don't have problems like poor people have problems. Most of your problems can be taken care of very easily by just shifting your money around. And it's far easier for you to make needed changes in your life because you can hire a fleet of coaches to help you do it. If you have a smoking problem, heck, you can hire somebody to come and basically solve your smoking problem for you. So I'm sorry, I don't. Now the deep-set psychological weirdness of it, you know, you can also go to a psychiatrist, you know, so that poor people can't afford to have to deal with our own trouble. But that's good. I think you should expect more and better life from poor people than you could ever expect from those who have lots of money. You know, just because I think poverty drives you to do many positive things to yourself. I mean, you can sit there and wallow, oh, I'm so poor, live in public housing, stuff like that, and that's not a problem, you know, as long as you don't see that as your ultimate thing. That is one of the last wonders of the United States, and frankly, it's going away. And I don't know where you're going to recapture that. There are other countries, Estonia, some of the Scandinavian countries are I think actually better than the United States for the whole vaunted. You know, anybody can get ahead. I think they are at least just as good. As America kind of tries diligently to shut down and plays its funny little governmental game with its citizens. Mostly telling old stories, spinning old yarns about how wonderful it is. And you get the impression that the only reason why they're telling these stories is to placate you so you don't kill all the rich people. It seems like that whenever you see a poor person who who is a steadfast Republican these days, they do that because they have a hope that one day they'll be rich. And that's a wonderful motivation. That's at least they're going to do something. They're going to do something. Moving forward on any level at all, I think, has its benefits. Now, avarice and greed aren't good things, but in doing that, it often forces self-improvement, a kind of habits of mind that great people have. Going out and accomplishing something. This is not something that the stereotypical welfare mom sitting watching soap operas in her public house that everybody else pays for, you know, eating bonbons that were paid for with food stamps, you know, that's not probably one of her attributes. And to a degree, it would be good, even if it was motivated ultimately by avarice, greed. A bunch of people don't live small, pathetic, on-the-dole lives because they want to meet code, or because they want this thing, or they want that thing. And almost for those kinds of people, I would say that avarice and greed might motivate them to actually motivate them to action, motivate them to better themselves. Now, I hope that at some point that avarice and greed, they find that avarice and greed aren't good motivators for a lot of things. I hope that would happen. I don't know at what point having a desire for money or power or fame or possessions goes from being a let's get off our duffs and do something, which is something positive to do, is not to sit around and wait for life to appear. And at what point it becomes, no, this is evil and you have to try to, you know, you need self-betterment that doesn't lend itself to whatever. It doesn't lend itself to anything. So, I was listening, and it's all just came up because Glenn Beck made some statement. And I could say, oh, well, he didn't mean that. He goes, no, absolutely he did. It's a philosophy he has. And I don't like listening to it. I don't like hearing it. The world has changed. And you go, what? You know, bad things happen. Tragedies happen. I live in Tucumcari. The Sunshine Roast Potato newspaper that we have doesn't really cover the news. And that's okay. I don't really care. There's all kinds of evil going on all around you. Thank Heavenly Father, thank God every day, the Lord, whoever, however you want to refer to that. Thank every day for the fact that it hasn't happened to you or your children that day. Or if it does, make other people's lives miserable for it. Don't do that. People got really upset. Who was I listening to that got really upset? I think it was like Bill Maher. Got really upset at George W. Bush after 9/11 when George W. Bush said, hey, go keep living your life. I think that was an important point. Put this into perspective. 3,000 people died in 9/11. As a result of that, 3,000 people, which is 0.00, it's a really small percentage of the population. We have turned the world upside down off of the excuse that we don't want to see that happen anymore. The world has become a darker, more sinister place. Governments nobody likes their government. The worst problems of quasi-democracy is this kind of stuff. To have a representative body that spends its time staring at a navel, thinking about what things it can do to win an election, what things it can do to try to pump up, you should love me because look at what I've done, look at what I've produced for you. Look at what I've brought home for you. Look at how much government largesse I am able to bring into my district to help you. And if these things are bad at their very heart, their very nature, anti-people. With these things, the whole world is slowly, gradually being enslaved. And everybody cries in horror when they say, what do you expect us all to do? Just carry, just walk around with guns on holsters on our sides to protect ourselves? And you go, I would rather have that sort of a world than the one we seem to be going to, where everyone is simply a kept unit. Economic, human resource unit under the control of the government. And that's the only thing you have to say about it. Is to vote every 2-4-6 years. And that you're being held hostage by the stupidest element, the most uninformed people, the most emotionalized, group of people. Let me tell you, if there's a face to America today, it is the face of a sobbing woman who has lost somebody she dearly loves and is going to put all of her energy behind making sure nobody has to feel the way she does ever again. That's the face of America. That's what everybody looks for. That's what everybody wants. When it gets down to it, that's how government responds to things. That's how Glenn Beck was talking. He was talking to, he must have figured out that that's his demographic. Is sobbing victim. You want to feel like they're doing something, so they go and they march on Washington to pass new laws to make life miserable for everyone. And that cannot really do anything about those problems. These are simply the problems of having a world upside down and how people are choosing to deal with that. It's easy to say that these people that blow up folks that go and gun down kids in schools or go into movie theaters and shoot up the place during Batman movies. It's easy to say, oh, these people are sick. I think it is more accurate to say that the conditions we have created are caustic, perhaps poisonous. And that one should expect these sorts of behaviors when you are living in the swill that this world has become. Nation states are not the answer. Of course, you do need to participate. You need to slow down the poisoning as fast as you can. It's not environmentalism. Growing new trees is not going to save the world. Our world is not, as far as I'm aware of, in pure air. Our world is not being destroyed by pollution, particularly. I'm not saying we shouldn't work on those things. But we have a much bigger problem. And it is the general attitude of people. If you don't like the way the government is going, sadly, I think a lot of people are just fine with how the government's going. They want to have a buffer between themselves and the world. And you have to understand, the government is a cruddy buffer. It does a horrible job. We're asking institutions to do things that are patently impossible. The police force cannot defend your home. It's not, the fact that it has over time kind of become their mandate to do so was foolish stupidity. I don't even know what it's born by, because it would be really easy to say that liberals are just goofball idiots bent on enslaving everyone. I don't think that's true. I just think they've glommed on to several interesting things that are just at their heart impossible. They can't be done. That's why if you're concerned about your property and your stuff, frankly, I don't keep a lot of property. Nobody's really breaking in to try to steal my stuff because, frankly, I don't have any stuff worth stealing. Last night, a friend of ours put a big screen TV out on her front porch. I don't know how she got it out there. I don't know how she did it because it weighs a ton. And me and the boys were out doing a service project for Mutual at the LDS Church. And we stopped by and we picked the thing up and took it home. And it's red. It's got red issues. And it was big. But, you know, it was big in the whole way that It was hard to look at, and the color scheme was all wrong, and it was just wrong, and we put back the old system, and it works much better, you know, the colors are clear, the screen's better, it just had a screen that was too big. It was like, I remember those old projection televisions, when they first came out with them, and you had to sit in a certain part of the room. You had to really darken the thing so you could see it at all. And because it was standard television resolution anyway, you didn't have pixels because it wasn't that digital back then. But on this big screen, I could see the individual phosphors that gave you the individual colors. And you had to get really far away from the television for it to start even looking decent as a picture, before the picture got sharp enough. So we finally took it down and put back the old one and went, oh, this is so much better. And I've come to pick what things I get involved in. When our television blew up in the late 90s, like 96 I think it blew up, we didn't replace it. We have a television that we use for videos. To watch DVDs and such. We saw the VCR too. We finally dumped all the videotapes once we transferred them to DVD. But it's still a big CRT style television. It's one that we didn't pay any money for it. Somebody just kind of threw it at us. It was somebody who brought it with one of our garage sales for the youth and just said, I don't want to see this again. Don't bring it back to me. And that's what we did. We just hung on to it. It was bigger than the TV we were using. I think at the time we were using like a 13-inch little TV, and we graduated up. I think the one we have now is probably about a 25. This one that we got, I think, was a 40 or a 42 or something. But the color scheme was bad. And it made horrible noises. When I turned it off, it was like, whoa, what is that? We tried to tried to pass it off as a, you know, we just had a really quiet television set. And we do. Once you turn it on, you can't hear it. Really nice, nice television. Anyway, so. And it's just like that, you know. I said, don't. Just because I've got, I've had a cell phone for the last 8 years with the job that I have, and I became accustomed to it. Lisa keeps hitting me with things like that, you know, and it would be a normal thing to say, is that, you become addicted to it, so you're always playing with it. And I go, well, it's because I'm consistently bored. Watching DVDs, you have to look at my kids too. The twins rarely sit down and watch an entire video. Lisa watches videos a lot, and the other people watch them a little bit. So, anyway, she said, well, you're not going to be able to get rid of that cell phone. I've got to get rid of the cell phone in a minute. Hot minute. Most times I'm glad to have it away. I find it to be a distraction. What I'm doing, I think I'll be able to concentrate more without having it sit around. Anyway, so... I'm really looking at getting rid of the phone. But you know what, I need to hang on to it until the 30th. It can die May 1st. Of course, I still have the hardware. I can still make these recordings. I can still do all the, you know, getting rid of the service doesn't mean that the phone is going to be useless. I've got Wi-Fi, and I said, you know what, if I'm going to be spending money on something like that, I'd rather spend more money on having deep feet on the internet. The servers for everything else, the server, and the various computers I get a hold of. I just got another one. Every time other people throw out stuff because it's convenient or because they feel like it's too slow, I end up inheriting it for free. All quite nice. In fact, I may end up getting a whole other computer too. So, anyway. And I don't ever intend on not being this way. I see no reason to get just gadgets. I won't buy another cell phone again. I don't like, tablets are kind of fun on a certain level, but books are just as good. If I was going to get anything that approached a tablet, you know, I would get a cheap one, secondhand. People were getting rid, you know, doing their stupid updates. I would grab one of those. get it up to the point to where at least it can function as an ebook. Download stuff to it like that. In fact, I think I would have an ebook as something else. Because my kids, like Brenna, she plays solitaire. Find out what's going on. This is this is the price you pay. And I should have checked with my normal guns and said, you know what, I don't. I think it was kind of bounced back from the fact that Plan A and Plan B had fallen apart. That I wasn't getting jobs. And I think I was getting a little depressed that I was trying to say, okay, this is going to, you know, if I'm going to keep, I'm going to have to keep this job for the rest of whatever, I need to at least take some of the perks of it. You know? And so this is one of the perks I took, and I shouldn't take it. Because I got, you know, honestly, I kind of dug myself in a hole for which I am now going to pay for the privilege of having dug myself in this hole. So I see no purpose in stringing it along either. I say, okay, let's say that I still owe $200 on the phone. Let's say that's actually how much it's worth. At my present rate, it costs $60 a month. Actually, I think it costs. Yeah, it costs something. A little over. It costs $60 a month to keep up with this. And less than in 4 months, I will have used that much. I think I can get the price of this thing down to about 35 or 40 a month. Even at that rate, let's say I can get it down to 30 a month, which I think is really throwing it out there. At 30 a month, in 7 months, I will pay more than this thing is worth. It's a 2-year contract. You're going, there's no sense in taking this thing alone. At some point, it becomes not useful, and the day it becomes not useful is, frankly, the minute after I don't need it anymore for my job. So I need to tell them, yeah, May 1st, I want to turn this thing off. I no longer want to receive a bill, you know, tack on however much it costs, however much I still owe on this phone, which is probably quite a bit. And, there we go. And, stuff like this. So, as I'm sitting here thinking about it, that's what I'm going to do. Because every day I'm paying for the service, I think it becomes a trick. It becomes a trick of saying, hey, you know, if you keep up with that, hey, you know, it's basically free. Why wouldn't you just keep up the service? You go, you guys do it because you figure I'll forget. And there's a reasonable chance I will forget. And when I do, guys will have talked to me again. You will have done this or have done that. I'm starting to find out how much the cell phone costs. I'm going to Clovis anyway. I need to get an oil change on the car. So I need to get some gas. And I'll take care of that at the supermarket. take care of all the masters. Because even if I get the cheapest thing I think I can get, which would be 20, it would end up being about 25. So at 25, pay the thing forward, 25, 4 months, that's 100. Even in 8 months, on the 25 thing, which I don't think they'll let me do, you know, I'm going to end up doesn't let me do that anymore. So yeah, when people go, oh no, you're just like everybody else. You're just, you know, everybody wants a cell phone. Everybody wants that. Everybody can do that. Everybody will pay whatever it costs to get it done. And you go, I don't. Because I don't have a cell phone. My children don't have cell phones. My oldest daughter got herself one. And I think ultimately, I don't know how really useful that was. She has access to email. I think that's good enough communication. I don't need to be reached that deadly, honestly. I would just assume, and it's really kind of a possibility here, I could do Skype instead. And for the few times where people wanna talk to me that way, anyway, so, I need to talk to Cell 3. Well, I need to find out what's going to happen with my diner's club. That's something I need to contact people about, is my diner's club card, and how that's going to work. Honestly, when it gets down to it. So I need to know if that's going to disappear. I don't think it would be a bad thing. Lisa had been moving over to using cash more. And now with the kind of lifestyle I'm going to be leading, I need to do the same thing. I need to move over to a cash base. You don't do things unless you got cash in your pocket. I've always been the guy who said, hey, as long as I get reimbursed fast enough, I don't really care. You know, I've got a credit card. But, things are changing, and it's been a larger thing to downsize. I've been wanting to downsize for a long time, and I've been getting around to it slowly. Been really a good thing to do. Myself a lot of grief, get rid of a lot of stuff that I just don't need. And it's just as well to be rid of it. Most of my stuff is old junk anyway. I've always been kind of a minimalist sort of a person. I think that's why I was attracted to, like, you know, going offshore and stuff like that. Because there wasn't a lot of, I didn't ever feel like I was leaving much behind that way. I was much more concerned about me, so I was much more concerned about my family. And I find that my children, by and large, except for Shayna is a pack rat. That the rest of my children are not. They are perfectly willing to throw away everything in their life. You know, life is much more about living life, I guess, and I'm kind of that way. There was a handful of Mother Earth noobs I wanted to hang on to, usually the oldest ones. I enjoy looking at the older Mother Earth noobs. Came from an interesting time that I enjoyed reading about. I didn't live it, but I read about it. So, anyway. My kids will get into making adobe bricks or something like that. And there's certainly a ton of land we're going to be living on for a year and a half or so. And they're going to have lots of fun with it. If it melts when it rains, just remelt it again. We're having something kind of cool and kind of fun. Interesting stuff going on. hope everything kind of comes together. Some more things come together today. So yeah, I've done all of my calculations and what needs to happen and stuff like that, and I think I'm just gonna, say, you know, hey, you can have the phone back. Chris will say, no, it's you now. Okay. Because you can call me more. I'm not gonna be weird about it. I'm to my destination. I'm basically just doing a few things here. Taking care of some car maintenance so the car is in stable shape before I get rid of it. Take care of some business in Clovis. I may even make a trip down for Dallas and see about, and go see Donnie. And try to get some more information about utilities and stuff like that. So we can get things kind of changed over. Get an actual mailing address for this place. So I can start getting bills at the right place too. Oh my gosh, that cat's huge. Wow, kind of fuzzy looking too. And not concerned at all about vehicles. I was sitting there waiting for the cat to do something. Okay. Good, people aren't leaving. Whoa. There we go. Okay, let me turn off this thing. I've got some emails to handle. That would be just as well.